It's time for Supply Chain Now. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Heard around the world, Supply Chain Now spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. And now, here are your hosts.
Hey, good morning. Scott Luton and Greg White with you here on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's very good. I'm always looking forward to these AIG events, right? They kind of kicked off the virtual world for us.
You're right. And we were just talking about that pre-show because of some of the great moves that AIG made in enabling people to connect during an incredibly challenging year. But you're still in my thunder. So for starters, on this episode, we're going to be talking with leaders from an organization that is helping to create much more visibility in the world of supply chain using science, sensor-based science, Greg, my least favorite subject in school. So I'm going to lean heavily on your expertise as we work through this episode. But you mentioned AIAG. So this episode here kicks off our coverage of the 2020 AIAG Supply Chain Summit, right, which is taking place on November 5th. AIAG, you know, we love our acronyms here in Supply Chain, Automotive Industry Action Group, and a lot of thought leadership, as you might imagine, in the automotive world. And, you know, we'd encourage our listeners to sign up for that event. Link is in the show notes. And in particular, we're thankful for these guests here, which we're going to introduce momentarily, that's sponsoring the podcast series associated with the Supply Chain Summit. So one final programming note, if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to check us out and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. All right. So now, Greg, you ready to dive in?
Now I'm ready.
All right. Fully prepped, ready to go. All right.
Yes. Let's do this.
With no further ado, let's bring in our featured guests. We're talking with Katie Lewis, a Marketing and Events Associate, and Rob Fink, Executive Vice President, both with Surgere. Katie, Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, welcome aboard.
Welcome. And we really appreciate your company's support of AIAG programming and, of course, the podcast series here affiliated with the Supply Chain Summit. So thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Delighted to be part of it.
All right. And we've got an excellent lineup that our listeners will be hearing from over the next few weeks. So stay tuned for that. But we're going to dive into both of y'all for today's episode. Really looking forward to learning a lot more. And with that in mind, Greg, let's see. You know, Katie, tell us a little about yourself, where you're from, and give us a eureka moment from your upbringing, say.
I'm from Northeastern Ohio. I grew up in the Canton area. So for those that might not know, it's a home of Football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I attended a small liberal arts university just outside of Cleveland called Baldwin-Wallace for my undergraduate degree. And then I went on to the University of Akron for my master's degree.
Go Zips.
Oh, yes. Go Zips. My professional background is in government and higher education. Personally, I'm happily married with one son and one daughter.
And what did you major in school?
Sure. So my bachelor's degree is in marketing, and then my master's degree is higher education administration.
And applying that to industry, I bet industry folks can learn a lot from that background.
Yes, absolutely.
So what was, you know, as I was stealing a glance at your professional journey via LinkedIn, interesting roles, what was a eureka moment you had as you kind of wind through your professional journey here?
I don't know if I would say there's specifically one eureka moment. I would definitely say that I have often focused on being extremely productive and always putting others first. And as you can see from my LinkedIn profile, that's a lot of my roles have been focused on helping and supporting other people. And I think that's something that I learned from my parents.
Love that. We need a lot more of that.
Servant leadership. Yep.
Yes. Yep. Is music in my ears, Katie. I appreciate you sharing that. Let's switch over now. Let's get a feel for Rob's POV, if you will, before we dive into all the good things that Surgere is up to. So, Rob, tell us, you know, where are you from, and we're going to find a eureka moment with you too, I think.
Yeah, so also from the Cleveland, Ohio area. Born in Boston, moved to Ohio, grew up in Ohio, been here ever since. Happily married, father of two young girls. like to play a lot of golf, don't really score well, but hasn't deterred me yet. Still get out there. From a eureka moment standpoint, I still try to embrace this, you know, throughout my career, is that you're never done evolving and learning as a person, mentally, physically. That journey never stops. And, you know, saying that you don't know something or you're unsure of something is really not a weakness, but a strength. So I try to embrace that constructive criticism throughout my life and tend to make my wife really happy when I can admit that, yep, you know what, I was wrong on that one and I could do better.
Right. You make your life a lot better when you admit you're wrong as well.
Well, I've learned that too. You learn a lot and things seem to be just a little bit easier.
Agreed. You know, one of my favorite philosophers is admittedly fictional philosopher, Big Tom Callahan from Callahan Auto Parts, Tommy Boy. You're either growing or you're dying. There ain't no third direction, right? I mean, in its own way, that is a really great philosophy. You should always be thinking about growing, always trying to improve yourself. And that's the only way to continue to even maintain, much less grow.
Absolutely.
Katie and Rob, if you can't tell, we subscribe to the classical
classical philosophers.
Yes. Yeah. We keep it very enlightened here at Supply Chain Now, but I agree completely with that sentiment. And Katie and Rob, I really appreciate what you both share on a human level. You know, we see oftentimes since we interview folks, there can be kind of a front, right? There's an interview side, maybe a real side. And I really appreciate where both y'all came from in that little extra tidbit about yourselves. All right. So let me ask one more question, Greg, before we dive into the company. So Rob, do you still have family in Boston?
I do not.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask, you know, I'm not sure when you moved from Boston, but, you know, living there right by the sea, all the seafood, and of course, an outstanding world-class city, you know, if you ever went back very often, and what'd you miss about it?
I do get back from time to time. We moved, you know, when I was pretty young, so I didn't have too many deep memories. But yeah, I do get back time to time, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. I really miss the food. You really can't get seafood like you can get in Boston and Cleveland. As hard as you try, you just can't find it.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, good stuff. Greg, let's get to work on the business side.
Well, I you know, we kind of hyped it a little bit, right? So there's a whole lot of sensors and science involved, but I'm interested for our audience to learn about what Sergere does. So Katie, can you and Rob share a little bit about that? And then maybe each of you share a little bit about your roles in the company?
So I'll just give a high level overview that we are a supply chain management company focused on working with our clients. Our mission is to save the supply chain. And we plan to do this through high fidelity data, advanced analytics, using IoT and the Sergere solution suites. So that's our software suite. My role within the company is, as Scott said previously, the marketing and events associate. So I plan a lot of our engagement with partner organizations like AIEG, any major sponsorships that we have. Currently, we have one with Andretti Autosport and Road to Indy because of the relationship with the data and the analytics. Also, I assist in a lot of our marketing and communications with our clients and potential clients.
So Rob, I mean, is what you do, is it onboard in vehicle analytics as well as whatever we would call it, static analytics?
No, so nothing as far as onboard as the vehicle is concerned, but really everything that has to do with assembling a vehicle is where we add value to our customers. So whether that be managing reusable containers, whether that be identifying and localizing where parts are, either on premises, within the plant or the warehouse, better helping them visualize their transportation velocity data. We're really here to enable them to do better, to achieve more through the provision of really high fidelity and accurate data, to Katie's point.
So it's the inventory on site and in motion? I mean, being shipped to or delivered to?
It's end to end, yeah. You know, we really started out as an organization with a focus on reusable containers. And RFID technology, but we've grown so much from there to whereby we're really looking at supply chain management holistically. Mm-hmm. And we're using a variety of different sensor-based technology, in addition to RFID, such as ultra-wideband or low-energy Bluetooth. So We're a use case driven organization. We make sure we bring the right tools to solve the problem based on the client's use case and ROI needs.
So can you give us a quick example of what a part or a component or construction that you guys track? Or I imagine people running around the facilities going, where is that X? What is X?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, what you find when you work with a lot of supply chain professionals is that there's a lot of management that's still occurring in very inefficient manners. You know, Excel is very highly leveraged, probably more leveraged than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of stuff happening in Excel that shouldn't. But to give you a high case level example, I'll pick on returnable container management. Large OEMs have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in returnable containers that they manage that ensure that the parts that their suppliers produce get to their sites and get to their sites, you know, free of damage. So it's important for them to understand where all that material is, especially at the supplier side, to make sure they have adequate inventory to pack and ship what they need to the OEM to not impact production negatively, and to make sure that they're not receiving parts in, you know, cardboard that they're not intended to be shipped in. So
right.
we tag and track that material as it travels throughout the supply chain. But additionally, we give our customers the ability to associate what part is being transported in that returnable container. So when it gets to their location, it's being stored in a warehouse, for example, we have technology that can help localize it. So when they're looking for a part and have, you know, 15 minutes before there's going to be a line side impact and the line's going to go down, they can see exactly where that part is. So they can go get it.
Wow.
You know, Greg, one of my earliest roles in the manufacturing arena was shipping out pallets of construction equipment to construction sites. And boy, do I wish we had sensors back then. I probably spent half my time because these pallets would get lost all the time. A lot of times they get destroyed. And we were trying to mitigate our damage, right? And for that matter, our time. I sure wish I had access to Surgair about 15 years ago. Too bad we didn't have the sensor technology at the time. But that level of visibility that Rob just described, I mean, Greg, how powerful is that?
Well, it is. I actually had a technology company that started as a spreadsheet where the cells represented shelf units in a room or something like that. And I remember or it kind of replaced it in an application like that. And I just remember how frustrating that was. And Rob, he's kindred spirit with us, is less needs to be done on Excel and more using the kind of technologies that are available today. But that IoT technology is so powerful, and that is a great practical application of it. I'm glad I appreciate you explaining that, Rob, because as you are probably well aware, so many people are going, what do we use IoT or AI or blockchain or whatever for? And there are so many practical applications and so many of them already employed like you're doing, that I think as people hear more about those, they'll start to see more and more where they can be used. And that's just such a practical
great point
application for it, right?
Hey, before we go broader, Greg, if I can interject, because Katie, as you were describing your role and your background, it seems like the Surgair team really values building that sense of community amongst your users and your client base and your niche. Is that accurate?
Yes. We often ascribe to the philosophy that we want to build raving fans within not only our clients, but also our employees. So we try to build that relationship with each of our individual suppliers, clients, and within our team.
Love that. And I love the emphasis on both customers and employees. We dove into the story behind Publix here recently, and it's fascinating to see their focus on both as well and how powerful that can be.
You can see the foundational philosophy too, just by the use of terms raving fans. So you can see that you all are being guided by good foundational principles. I'm sure there's a stack of books whenever you join the company that you have to read through to make sure you understand the culture of the company.
Absolutely.
Funny. Kate and I are both smiling because you nailed it. There is a pile of books that you do get upon your onboarding. And we're very much focused on creating culture, maintaining culture here at Sergera. Very important to us.
Yeah, that's clear. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the broader supply chain. So, you know, when you take a look at what's going, particularly in automotive and OEM, and there's been so much disruption, but particularly I think with transportation, and we're talking a lot about a lot of different approaches and changes in transportation these days. Tell us what has really got your attention, you know, an issue or an opportunity or a challenge or a news item or whatever that's really got your attention right now. Katie, you want to share?
I'm kind of going to tie back to Rob's point about the returnable containers. Even though we have the ability to associate them for our clients, it seems like the lossage in that aspect is very large. It's about 16-18% that they lose those containers. So it's a financial issue for the suppliers and the OEMs, but it's also a supply chain management issue because they can't find the right containers to go back to the right OEM. As Rob explained, we're using the associations within the Sergera Solutions to help alleviate that problem. And we keep trying to investigate further to solve that issue.
Yeah, I could see that being a really expensive, because as you said, Rob, they're purpose built, right, to protect or contain certain types of parts or products or assemblies. And when they're purpose built, that spells dollar signs to me. So
yes. And Greg, also along those lines, is the more we can optimize and drive shrinkage and loss out of the equation, the more companies will really embrace those reusable containers. And that'd be good for everybody.
Yeah. We know a company in the grocery industry who does that. Eggs, just imagine shipping eggs, right? I mean, some of the products that you all track are probably equally as fragile in a lot of cases. So, all right. So Rob, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing out there and what you think that means or how that impacts your business.
We're a little bit different here at Sergera. You know, when we engage with a client, we don't really look at that client as a client. We look at that client as a partner. And our goal is to have a transformative impact with that client. So what we're seeing as we're talking to our clients in terms of how we can help them going forward is that there's really a need for greater visibility at the item level. And I touched on that earlier. So whether it be, I know I've received this item, now I simply can't find it in my plant or my warehouse. That's a big issue we're starting to focus on that we're hearing throughout the industry. Help us find our product more quickly. But then secondarily on the item level, having the ability to serialize and automate the connection of a part to the specific VIN number of the vehicle from a recall management perspective, we're looking at is, again, having the possibility to have a very transformative impact as far as how warranty issues are handled, how recalls are handled. We're seeing the ability for that impact to be extremely large.
You don't even think about recalls, right? I think from the layman's perspective, you don't think about things like that, but being able to track and trace that back becomes really important, because lot numbers become a big portion of the tracing methodology for recalls, correct?
Yeah, very, very much correct. And, you know, without having that automated serialization and connection to the VIN, what typically happens is you have to overestimate the amount of vehicles that may need service. So this could have a positive impact to the OEM as well as the consumer.
Yeah, no doubt. There is nothing like that. I've actually had that occur. You take your vehicle back because it's supposed to have a bad taillight or whatever. And you probably know what brand that is.
I do.
That problem. And you take it back and they go, oh, no, you don't have the problem. Right. So you feel, irritation is an understatement to have had to do that.
On the flip side, you know, you're kind of speaking to it from a consumer side, Greg. On the flip side, on the employee side, having led a manual traceability project where I didn't have systems that Rob's referring to, I mean, 2 weeks, if that, a ton of lost time going back to track paperwork and sign-offs. I mean, Holy cow. So I love what Katie and Rob are both speaking to, and I can only imagine the resources and the time that it saves and what it adds to the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, it's exponential, right? It's, you know, if you think about, because we're talking about OEMs and automotive brands, I mean, it's not just in the factory that it impacts. It impacts distribution. It impacts the dealer and the consumer. And that, you know, those are a lot of extended portions of the ecosystem that really don't want to be bothered with those things. And it creates a sort of exponential effect in terms of inefficiency as it goes out. So there's a lot of benefit here other than within the factory or within the supplier network. And there's a lot of brand equity that can be gained here as well, I would think, because if you don't have those erroneous situations like that, then you impact fewer and fewer people, right?
Well put, as always. I knew I should have paid a lot more attention and studied more in science class. I'd be doing cool things like Katie and Rob.
That's more Katie's angle. That's more, you know, making sure that customer partnership remains strong, right, than science. But there is science to that for sure.
Really, I've appreciated what you share. But, you know, I knew that we had a variety of kindred spirits coming into today's podcast interview with Katie and Rob, because we're all big fans of what AIAG is doing to serve industry and not only help connect people, like we touched on earlier, but also help disseminate and proliferate best practices amongst industry. And appreciate what the Surgera team how they're helping to make that happen. So with that as a backdrop, and Katie, let's start with you, and then we'll get Rob to chime in. I know that y'all have been a part of the AIAG community, at least for several years, going back a few years. What's been your, you know, one of your favorite aspects of that involvement and engagement?
My interaction with AIAG is pretty new this year. I've been working with them the last couple of months, somewhat in preparation for this virtual conference. And I know that Surgera has had a longstanding partnership with them, like you referenced, but I just really appreciate their constant support and their unbiased willingness to give us education and resources of information.
Funny, we saw that early on in dealing with them. So, Katie, you probably don't know this, but it's our belief that AIAG was the first company to go from physical events to virtual events, and they already had that in motion, and they were able to pivot really quickly, right around the time that around that March 13th timeframe when all the lockdowns started. They were ready to go with a summit that they had already had planned. So we were really impressed with the agility, and I think the important thing for us was that action in the name, Automotive Industry Action Group, is a clear initiative from their standpoint.
I completely agree. And the people behind it, like Katie, you're kind of referencing. I mean, that's been a great rewarding part of our journey, to partner with passionate people like Jim and Tanya and the rest of the team, because it, you know, these are no small feats for sure, right, to put on the types of events and the programs they do. So it's been really neat to observe and of course be a part of it, and frankly learn from a team, as Greg put, that we're trailblazers in this massive wave shifting from in-person to virtual.
Yeah, so far ahead of the game.
That's right. All right, Rob, same question to you. You know, what have you enjoyed the most about engaging in the AIAG programming and community?
Well, I think from my perspective, the fact that there's really not an agenda other than getting to the right answer and doing the best thing in the interest of the community. I found there to be no bias, no politics. Everybody's out just to get to the right answer for the group. And that's refreshing. You don't find that very often. While simultaneously, I also think while there could be a significant amount of bureaucracy, there's not. You know, things get done, and things get done in a timely fashion with AIAG. So again, to use the same word, refreshing.
All right, I'm going to completely steal that from Rob, the focus of just getting to the right answer. I mean, that's real clear, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah, it is. You know, in working with Tanya and Jim and the whole team, we've seen it in coordinating this, right? I'm really impressed with what they do. And I think they put together a really, really, well, I mean, the last event that we participated in was fantastic. They opened it up to, instead of hundreds, thousands of people. And you could tell that the need and the desire was there because those thousands of people showed for
it. That's right. So as we move into winding the interview down here, we're going to make sure our listeners know how to connect with Sir Jer here momentarily. But you know, this next event, Supply Chain Summit, is going to be focused on understanding the future of supply chain with a really big focus on the next 5 years, right? So a variety of technologies, I think they're going to have breakout sessions on. And I think there's going to be immense value, especially at the price point. I think it's like $25 for folks to join in and be a part of that and connect with the community. So again, we're going to make it really easy for folks to do that by the show note, the link in the show notes. And we'd invite you to do just that. So you can meet people like Katie and Rob with Sir Jer that are doing great things, not just in automotive, but across industry as they touched on here today. All right. So the trillion-dollar question, Katie, let's make sure folks know how to connect with you and the Sir Jer team.
They can catch us. They can check us out on our LinkedIn page, LinkedIn/Sir Jer, and that's Surgere.
Really have enjoyed our time. Greg, this is what a great start to the podcast series that's going to be associated with the Supply Chain Summit.
Yeah, I never cease to be amazed at where there is a business, right? I think that's probably one of the most fun things we get to discover is that. And, you know, this problem needs to be solved everywhere, but certainly in automotive where the parts are high cost and high value and impact the safety and well-being of people as well.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Well, big thanks to Katie Lewis and Rob Fink, both with Sir Jer. Really appreciate your sponsorship of this series affiliated with the 2020 AIAG Supply Chain Summit. We're going to see y'all on November 5th. And again, appreciate your thought leadership and how you give back to make sure that folks in industry find solutions to problems. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
Thanks.
Greg, great leadoff episode. Really have enjoyed this. Looking forward to the November 5th event. I mean, we had such a great time at the last event to focus more on corporate sustainability. But, you know, as much as we love that topic, of course, we're just a bit partial to the overall supply chain, right?
Maybe a little bit. And I want to encourage the listeners to this particular show to ask Katie and Rob about that stack of books. I have my own guess. I don't want to give it away here. But I want people to understand what that stack of books is that drives the culture at Sir Jer, because it's clear that from a standpoint of pleasing the customer and meeting them where they are, and also from a standpoint of servant leadership, that's a big part of how they exist. That's an important part of being a successful company.
That's an outstanding call out. And that's outstanding wrap up for this episode, because you and I both picked up on that early on in this conversation with Katie and Rob. So admire that. Certainly admire companies that take care of their employees as much as they spend time focusing on the customer. So really important. Okay. So to our listeners, thanks for joining us for this episode. Of course, you can find a lot more episodes like this by searching for Supply Chain Now, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also visit supplychainnowradio.com. And we invite you to tune in next time. On behalf of our entire team here, including Greg White and Scott Luton, thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, do good, give forward, and be the change that's needed. And on that note, we'll see you next time here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.